Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option, find it on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction edit that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will be learning today will be starting from the third line from the top of Daf Hey. If you glance at that point in the Gemara, you will notice the name Reish Lakish in a firebox. This is a marking that we don't use very often. It denotes a name or an idea that will preoccupy the Gemara for at least an Omid, if not more. In this case, let us glance at the side of the Gemara, the outside margin. You'll notice we have a topic heading, in this case a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading, Ad Vov Omid Aleph. Hityachasut L'Divrei Reish Lakish. We'll be paying attention and dealing with the teaching or the problem or the words of Reish Lakish. The Nosei, the immediate topic heading that we've provided here, Kosha Loi the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has a difficulty with Ha Dikotoni Al Korbonos Shehukrivu Shelo Lishma regarding sacrifices that are offered without the desired specific intention, which we refer to as Loi Lishma, without their intention, without their specific definition borne in mind by the one processing the korban. What does the Mishnah say at the beginning of the Maseches? It says Ksheirin, that those kind of korbanos that are offered shelo lishma, they're acceptable. However, v'lo olu lebailin l'shem chova, they don't constitute a fulfillment of the owner's obligation. And we say de'enon meratzin, they don't serve to atone for the owner in the case of those kind of korbanos that provide atonement. Reish Lakish's problem is as follows: Im ksheirim lomo ein meratzim. If you define them, these korbanos that are offered shelo lishma, as being kosher, meaning that if an initial step was done shelo lishma, the processing of the korban continues and the meat can in fact be eaten. So if it's kosher, then why does it not offer atonement? And Beis, im einon meratzin, and if you decide that they do not offer atonement, then loma hein boyin, then why do we continue to process the korbanos at all? So now, with that introduction in mind, we turn to the Gemara itself. Rami Reish Lakish al mo'ohi bei midrasha umakshi. Reish Lakish was lying on his belly in the base medrash, seemingly rather comfortable position, and in that position he raised the question, Im ksheirim heim yiratzu, if the korbanos that are offered shelo lishma are considered kosher, and you will eventually be able to eat the meat, then let them yiratzu, let them offer atonement. V'im ein meratzin, and if you declare, as you did in the Mishnah, that they don't offer atonement, Lama Boyin. It's pointed out that at this point in the Gemara, Reish Lakish has not established the source that we have already established based on the pasuk of Moitzos Sosecha Tishmor Vasisa. This was found at the very bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. It says, it continues to say, Vasisa Kashir Nadarto Lashem Elokecha Nedavo Asher Dibarta Beficha. And from that, we learned already the source for this idea that even though something is processed shelo lishma, it still will constitute a nidova. But in the meantime, Reish Lakish hasn't established that for himself. So the question has been raised. Omar loy Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar responds to Reish Lakish and says, if this bothers you, Motsinu beboyin liachar misa, we find examples of sacrifices that are brought after the owner dies, shehein ksheirin vein maratzin, disnan. And we now will bring a proof to that, or an example of that, from a Tanaic source. So that if Reish Lakish's question is, how can you have a situation of a korban that is not meratzeh and yet it is brought? Well, we have a precedent for that from the following case. This case that's found in the frame, which is a Tanaic source, as all frame sections in the Gemara markings represent Tanaic sources. This one features a woman who gave birth, and according to the Torah law, a woman, after bearing a child, she brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. In this case, we have Ho'isha Shehevia Chatosa Umesa. She brought her korban chatos. She's expected to bring a chatos and an oila, two kinds of korbanos. In the event that she brought her korban chatos and then died, Yavi Yorshin Oilosa, her heirs are expected to bring the korban oila that she is supposed to have brought. Oilosa, if she brought her oila Umesa and then died, Lo Yaviu Yorshin Chatosa. In such a case, the Yorshim will not bring the Chatos. That's a case of Chatos Shin Mesu Baleo, and there's an oral tradition that when you have a Korban Chatos, that the owner of which died, the Korban Chatos is set out to die. It's not brought. But what we do see here is that you have the woman who gave birth. She had an obligation to bring a Chatos and an Ola. After she brought the Chatos, she died. The Ola is brought even though the owner is not there anymore. Omalei, so Reish Lakish, upon hearing this, says, Modina loch ba'ola di asila harmisa. I admit that an Ola can come after the owner dies. That's not what bothered me in when I raised the original question. Osham, delo asila harmisa minolon. My question focuses on a korban osham. It's known that a korban osham that was set aside by the owner and the owner died, the korban osham is not brought. How do we know that a korban osham that's offered shaloi lishma is acceptable? So far, what are we seeing? And according to Reish Lakish, that a korban that can be brought after misa, then I don't have any problems with it being acceptable when done shelo lishma. But a korban, like a korban osham, that is not brought li'achar misa, how is it that if it's done shelo lishma, that it's kosher? Amalei, so Rebbe Lozer answers, Hare machloksa b'tzido. There is another Tana that appears next to the Tana that says it's kosher, that in fact declares that a korban osham shelo lishma is pasul, just like you are intimating in your question. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer says, af ha'osham, just like a korban chatos that's done shelo lishma is pasul, so too a korban osham. And so that should satisfy you, that you have a Tana that goes along the lines of your question. Omar, so Reish Lakish, upon hearing this answer, he responded regarding Rebbe Lozer, who was answering him. Don't confuse in this Gemara Rebbe Eliezer, who was a Tano, and Rebbe Lozer, who's participating in the discussion with Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish refers to Rebbe Lozer and says, Zehu Shomer Alav Adam Gadol Hu. Is this one, Rebbe Lozer, the one that they say that he is a great man? Ko amino ano mishne shlema. I am reflecting in my question the opinion of the Rabbonan that says that an osham shelo lishma is kosher. V'at amris li Rebbe Eliezer, and you try to comfort me by suggesting that Rebbe Eliezer would agree with my question. I'm not interested in Rebbe Eliezer. I'm interested in understanding the shita of the Chachomim. Those that say that an osham shelo lishmo is kosher, and we know that it doesn't come liachar misa, how is it that you can have something that's not meratzeh and still kosher? Elo omer Reish Lakish, eftach ano pischo l'nafshoi. I will answer my own question to explain the kashrus of the osham that's done shelo lishmo. And Reish Lakish, in fact, cites the same posuk that we cited earlier on the bottom of Daled Amid Beis. Moitzo sosecho v'chulei. And the pasuk goes on to say, as we saw there at the bottom of the previous omid, it says v'alsisik asher nadarta l'ashem elokecha nidava. And the earlier part of the pasuk mentions that it's a neder, and then concludes by saying it's a nidava. Hi nidava neder hu, etc. Here the Gemara is saving ink, so to speak, and says kidaliel, that to appreciate this drasha, it's as it was explained earlier. And what is that? That it's a gzeres hakosav. The pasuk says that if you offer it lishma, then you fulfill your obligation. That's what the term neder means. However, if you do it improperly, if you do it shelo lishma, then it's classified as a nidava, and with that you have not fulfilled your obligation, so that even though it's a nidava and it's called kosher, nevertheless, you still have to bring another korban, and that's what we mean by when we say it's kosher ve'ein meratzeh. It doesn't atone for him, and he doesn't thereby fulfill his obligation, and he has to bring another one. Before we go further in the Gemara, we want to take note of some of the structural phenomenon in this Gemara. So we glance at the side, we have a Mivneh heading, and we see the trapezoid or volcano form, and it surrounds the word Pischa or Pesach, as we'll see in the upcoming lines of Gemara as well. These are Psukim Shebohem Reish Lakish Motza Mokor Leha Dikatoni Al Shelo Lishma Kosher Veina Olu L'Shem Chovu. We will be featuring psukim that express that in which Reish Lakish finds the source for the teaching of the Mishnah, that something that's offered Shelo Lishma can be considered kosher, but yet the owner does not fulfill his obligation. So that's what this trapezoid form comes to highlight, the psukim that Reish Lakish is using to find his source for what he's looking for. We also have a bow tie form that appears, and that's explained also on the side. Hisya achasus shel amoroim ledu siach ben Reish Lakish v'Belozer. There will be amoroim that make comments on the discussion that took place between Reish Lakish and Reb Elozer. This is the discussion we saw at the beginning of today's Gemara. Cases 1 and 2, or numbers 1 and 2, as we've labeled them as bow ties, Roman numeral 1 and 2, Al Divrei Reish Lakish, they will be focusing on Reish Lakish, and bow tie number 3 will be focusing Al Divrei Rebbe Elezer. And you can see the continuation of these markings as you scroll over or turn over to page to the other side, to the Hey Amid Beis, about a third of the way down you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, where you also have Rabbonim that are referring to the words of Reish Lakish, and more than halfway down you'll see number 3. So we turn to the Gemara. Yosef Rebbe Zera v'Rebbe Yitzchok bar Abba v'Yosef Abaye Gabayhu. Rebbe Zera and Rebbe Yitzchok were sitting, and Abaye was present. He was sitting by them. V'Yasvi v'Ko'amri. So they said, Kashyo Lei l'Reish Lakish Osham d'lo Osi l'Achar Misa. Reish Lakish was bothered about the Korban Osham, that is a korban that does not come after, it's not brought after the owner dies, and yet it is said about the osham that if it's done shelo lishma, it's kosher. V'nosiv lo tamuda, and then Reish Lakish explained or found a basis for that halacha, that even though it was done shelo lishma, it still is kosher. He found the pasuk moitza, v'nosiv lo tamuda, Moitza Svatsecha. But still, we can ask, Ema, Habo Beneder Umenidava Laisi Velo Lirtzi. Those kind of korbanos that are of a voluntary nature, that one can vow to bring on his own, those kind of korbanos, we can say that if they're done shelo lishma, let them be brought, and they don't enable the owner to fulfill his obligation since it was done shelo lishma. However, asham lo laisi klal, But a korban osham that does not come b'neder u'nedavah, it does not come on a voluntary basis. Why is it not said that if it's done shelo lishma, it should not be brought at all? Omar luhu Abaye. It was mentioned before that Abaye was sitting in the presence of Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yitzchok bar Abba. So Abaye pipes up and says, Reish Lakish mehocha posach. Reish Lakish, in explaining the idea of the shelo lishma yet being kosher, based himself not on the motzos vasecha posach, which would have limited the idea to things that come b'neder u'nedava, rather v'shochat oisa l'chatos. And this is what Reish Lakish darshins: oisa lishma k'shera shelo lishma psula. The korban chatos alone is that korban that, if it's done properly, then it's kosher, and if done improperly, if it's done with the wrong mindset, namely it's shelo lishma, it is pasul. Hashar kodshim shelo lishman sherim. However, all other korbanos, if they're done shelo lishman, they're considered okay. Yochol yirtzu. Could it be that even if they're done shelo lishma, they would actually enable the owner to fulfill his obligation? Tamud lomar moitzos vasecha. So now we bring in the second pasuk, that if it's done with shelo lishma, then at best it's considered an adava, indicating that the owner does not fulfill his obligation. Question: V'hema, let us suggest haba v'neder u'nedava laisi v'lo lirtzi. Maybe it can be argued that voluntary type korbanos, those that can be brought as a neder or nedava, they are brought, and if they're done shelo lishma, they won't be miratzeh. They won't enable him to fulfill his obligation. However, osham artsuye nami lutzi. Let it be argued that an osham, which is different, it's not ba b'neder u'nedava, it would actually enable the one who brings it, even though he did it shelo lishma, he should fulfill his obligation with that. And we know that's not the case. At this point, we have a new geometric form. We have a house form, and this is explained on the outside margin, nosei mivneh. We have aleph, and later will be a beis. Shuvoseim shel Abaye v'rova la'sheila, responses to the question, responses provided by Abaye and Rova to the question of lama lo aminon ha'oshem da'aseh shelo lishma nami yiratzeh, that an osham that's done with an improper mindset, it should actually be effective in releasing the owner from his obligation. Omar Abaye, osham demirtzi lo motzis armas, to suggest that an osham done shelo lishma can afford atonement and thereby fulfill the owner's obligation, cannot be said. Kal v'chomer me ola, and we can make a kal v'chomer reasoning from a korban ola. Ma oila she'eno mechaperes eino maratze. Mind you, a korban ola that is not here for atonement purposes, if it is done shelo lishma, so the owner does not yotze his obligation. Osham shemechaber, an osham which does have an atonement capacity to it. Eino din she'eno marata, then all the more so it should not be capable of releasing the owner, if it's done shelo lishma, of his obligation. The Gemara says, well, you can't really make a kal v'chomer from ola. By ola, maybe we'll say eino marata malo oilo she'ken kolil. Ola has a certain aspect of stringency to it, that it is completely burnt in the fire. And therefore, maybe the ola is eino maratze, doesn't release the owner from his obligation. Well, to that we say shlomim yochichu. Now, shlomim are not kulo kolil. However, if it's done shelo lishma, we know that it's not maratze. The owner is not freed from his obligation if he had bound himself to bring a shlomim. And then it's done shelo lishma. Well, ma'al shlomim shekein teunin nesachim teunin nefeschos v'shoik. I can't really learn from shlomim that if it's done shelo lishma, that it's eino meratze, because shlomim has a stringency associated with it, and that is that they have the nesachim, that's the wine offering that accompanies it, and it has the waving of the chozev v'shok, the limbs that are given to the kohen. So maybe by the osham, by the shlomim, I'll have to concede that it's lo meratze. But about as far as the osham is concerned, maybe it should be meratze. Oila tochiach. Well, the ola, that's something that doesn't have tenufas chozev v'shok, and yet we know by the ola that if it's done shelo lishma, the owner does not fulfill his obligations. It's eino meratze. V'chozar hadin lo roizeh k'roizeh v'lo roizeh k'roizeh, and the logic will continue to revolve if you bring in ola and then try to repudiate the ola because it's kulo kolil, so then I bring in the shlomim and then I try to repudiate that because it's got these extra mitzvahs associated with, and I bring back the ola that doesn't have the extra mitzvahs associated with, and I go in around and around. And that's what this expression means, v'chozar hadin lo roizeh k'roizeh v'lo roizeh k'roizeh. Hatzad ha-shova shebahen, being that they are different, the Ola and Shlomim are different, can I determine something common to them and thereby learn from them to the Osham Shalo Lishma? So the Gemara says, the Tzad ha-shova shebahen, the common denominator between Ola and Shlomim, Shein Kodshim, V'shochton Shalo Lishma, and K'sherim Ve'ein Maratzin, they are examples of korbanos, and if they're slaughtered shelo lishma, they're considered kosher, and they do not release the owner from his obligation. Afani ovi osham shu kodesh v'shochto shelo lishmoi, so too I will be able to bring in the korban osham that happens to be holy, and if it's done shelo lishma, it's kosher v'eino meratze. The Gemara asks on this as well, ma la'atzad ha-shova shebahen, how can you learn from the common denominator between Oyla and Shlomim? Shkenyechno betzibor. You have Korbonos Ola and Shlomim that are brought as public sacrifices. Even a Shlomim, you have the example of the Kivsei Atzeres that are a public sacrifice. So it could be that those kind of things that are done Shelo Lishma, they're Ein Meratzin because of this phenomenon of being brought by the public on occasion. So, if that's what is the reason for saying I can't learn the din of Oshem Shelo Lishma from them, I'll say back, Toida Yochiach. A Korban Toda is not brought by the public, and yet we know that a Korban Toda Shelo Lishma is kosher and it's not Meratze. Ma le Toida, but I can't learn from Toda. On the other hand, she came to Nalechem. The Korban Toda has an additional feature that the Oshem doesn't have, in that there are 40 loaves of bread that come with it. So maybe over there I'll say it's kosher v'eino meratze. But by an Oshem, maybe it should be meratze as well, even though it's done shelo lishma. So to that we answer, oila ushlomim yochichu, that don't have bread with them, and yet they're kosher v'ein meratze. V'chozer hadin. And the logic continues to revolve around and around. Lo roizeh k'roizeh, v'lo roizeh k'roizeh. Each one doesn't have characteristics in common with the other. However, hatzad ha-sheva shebohen, a common denominator between an oila, a toda, an ola, and a shlomim, shein kotshim, v'shochton shelo lishma, kosher v'eino meratze, af ani ovi osham shu kodesh, v'shochton shelo lishma, kosher v'eino meratze. To this, the Gemara responds, rejects this. Ma lahatzad ha-sheva shebahen, how can you learn from the common denominator between the Toda, Oilu, and Shlomim? Shehein boin b'nedru b'nedavo. Each one of those can be brought on a voluntary basis. One can voluntarily dedicate those kind of korbanos, and that's not the case by a korban osham. Elo omar rova. So at this point we have a second stage, so to speak. We had Abaye started this off in trying to find out a source for the halacha that the osham that is brought shelo lishmo is not meratze. From where am I going to learn that? in all of these attempts to learn from other korbanos, we find that there is a significant point of difference between them and the Osham. So I can't learn from them to the Osham. El Amar Rava, Zois HaTorah. And this pasuk goes on to list off many different types of korbanos. Hekishu HaKosuv L'Shlomim. The Osham in this pasuk is compared to a Shlomim. Ma Shlomim Shein Kodshim V'Shochtan Shelo L'Shmon Kshir V'Ein Maratzin. Just like the Shlomim is a sacrifice, and when done Shelo L'Shma, it's kosher and it does not offer atonement. It doesn't fulfill the owner's obligation. He'll have to bring another one. Afani Avi Osham Shu Kodesh V'Chule. So what we have is a Hekish. And there's a rule that Ein Meshivin Ala Hekish. Once you have a pasuk that cites different elements in it, I'm entitled to compare the one unknown, let us say, to the other elements, or to one of the elements, and say that I compare the halachas of one to the other. And even though there may be points of difference, those points of difference are not sufficient to negate the comparison. The Gemara asks, "My chazis the akshis l'shlomim. What do you see to limit your comparison, or to focus the comparison of the osham to a shlomim? Akish l'chatos. Why not compare the osham to a chatos, which is referenced to in that same pasuk?" And if I would compare the Osham to the Chatas, I would say that if it's Shelo Lishma, it'll be Posel Mamish, not Kosher and simply Ve'ein Maratzin. So to this, the Gemara answers, Ha-mi'et Rachmona Oisa. The Chatas was accompanied by the word Osa, and as such, the Chatas is excluded, is limited to itself. That, and we say that Osa Lishma Kosher Shelo Lishma Posel. Only by the chatas will we say that if it's shelo lishma it's posel, and not the case by all other korbanos. With exception, of course, the Pesach on Yudalid Nisan. Yosef Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman v'Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabayu v'Yasvi v'Kamri. We have here a second occasion of rabbis that are sitting together and deliberating the words of Reish Lakish. Kashyale the Reish Lakish Osham. Reish Lakish was bothered about concerning the Osham, Mishum delo osi la'achar misa, that since it does not come li'achar misa, how can it be described as kosher if done shelo lishma? Before we go further in the Gemara, we will take note of the structural phenomenon. We have a triangle that appears, and afterwards a triangle appears inverted. And this positioning of the triangle continues to flip-flop as you go along the next several lines. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have the triangles are featured, and we call this Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the discussion. With the point facing up, Nisayon loymar shehe osham kosher sheloi lishmoi al smach duhubo liachar misa betor moisar. There will be an attempt to say that the reason an osham is kosher shelo lishmo is because it is in fact brought liachar misa. It is brought after the owner dies in the form of moisar. What does that mean? That means that the korban osham, whose owner died, we set it out to graze until it develops an imperfection, a blemish, a mum. And then we take that money and buy korbanos to be brought on the mizbeach. So, in effect, the value of the osham, which we're associating or interchanging it with the idea of the osham itself, in other words, we're talking about its value is brought as a korban li'achar misa. So once I demonstrate that it comes li'achar misa, that should be good grounds for me to say that even though it's done shelo lishma, it is kosher. continuing in the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar, who was answering Reish Lakish in the original appearance of Reish Lakish's question, why doesn't Rebbe Elazar say to him, Osham Nami Osi Li'achar Misa, that an Osham whose owner died, we set it out to graze until it develops a mum, then we poda it, we redeem its value onto money, and use that money, we redeem its sanctity onto money, an amount of money that's the equivalent of the value of this blemished Osham, and then take the money and buy animals to be offered as Ketz HaMizbeach. That those are korbanos that are used when the Mizbeach is experiencing downtime. And that's the reason, because the Osham is Baal, the Achar Misa in the form of its value, that's why it's kosher, Shelo Lishmoy. So to this there's a response, Omar Lahu Rav Sheshes. Osham Lamaikor, when you talk about the Osham coming Lachar Misa, how, in what form is it brought, the Achar Misa? Lemosro, as we described a moment ago, that its value is redeemed onto money, and then other korbanos are brought to offer on the Mizbeach as nedavos. Well, chatos nami mikrav korva mosra, we know that there's a case of moiser chatas as well. That's a situation where a person, let us say, set aside two animals, one as a backup creature, that if he fails to bring the first animal, he has the second animal as backup. Well, that's a case, and let us say that he never needs to use the backup. Let's say he brought nothing happened with the first animal, so he's left with a second animal that he set aside for insurance purposes. What do we do with that animal? Well, that animal is used also for nedavos. We can see this in the Rashi on the first narrow line above. Chatos nami moisroi nedavahu kigon shifrishtei chatois lachrayes. The person has set aside two animals, one to be a guarantee for the other. Miskaper ve'echas mehen vashnia tireh. He chooses one of them, one of the two animals he set aside for his chatas, uses it for his atonement, and the second animal that he ends up not using is set out to graze until it develops a mum, and vahi kreva liachar misas bailim. And that backup animal can eventually be brought, or its money value is brought as a korban, because it's used to purchase an animal to be brought as a korban, and it's being brought after the original owner died. Sharei niskaber b'chaverta b'chayav. He already achieved his atonement through the first animal. The Einzu chatzah shemei subala. This is not an example of the moser animal is not an example of chatzah shemei subala, because the owner already achieved atonement with the first one. Almo asio chatzah le'achar misa. We see from here a scenario which we can describe as a chatzah coming le'achar misa. So the Gemara is asking that, well, if you're going to talk about this idea of mosar, the money that's achieved from redeeming an osham, we have a similar idea in the case of a chatos, and we know that a chatos shelo lishma is posel, so why not say the same thing by the osham? So the Gemara answers, chatos afalgav to korva moisra, even though it is brought le'achar misa, so to speak, even though it has this mosar element where we can bring the leftover korban, mi'et rachmona hu, the chatos is limited, it's exclusionary, and that means that only a chatos of dan shelo lishma is posel, but that's not going to be the same case by an osham. Gemara asks, well, Osham Nami Ksiv Bei Hu, the Osham also has a limiting expression associated with it. So let us say, it's just like you had the word Hu by the Chatos, and we know the Chatos Shelo Lishma is Posel. Let us say that the Osham as well will be Posel Shelo Lishma. The Gemara answers, Hahu, the Achar Akdor Zimurim Hu Dechtiv. The word Hu in the context of the Osham is written in the Torah at a point after the innards of the korban were offered. We now have a bracketed section of Gemara, and it's explained in the inside margin. Sagraim elu einom l'shem dilug. We're not going to skip this bracketed section. Elo laharos, it's there. The brackets are placed here to show sheikur hatshuva histayim, that we offered the main answer already, and that was the main answer came to a climax right before the bracketed section. Within the bracketed section, we'll have some elaboration on this topic. So the Gemara continues, Kidisanyo, Aval Osham Lo Nemar Boy Hu, Elo Liachar Akhtar Zimurim. The word Hu, in the case of an Osham, appears after the innards were offered. Vuhu Asmo Imlo Hiktiru Emuim Shkosher. And as far as the Emurim themselves are concerned, if for some reason, some kind of extraneous circumstance prevented the owner from offering the Emurim, that would not affect the kashrus of the Korban Osham. So therefore, the Hu in the case of the Osham is not similar to the Hu in the case of Chatos. In the case of Chatos, we said Hu Lishmo Kosher Shelo Lishmo Posel. That's because the word Hu appears earlier in the processing of it. However, in the case of the Osham, the restrictive word Hu appears only after Haktorah Seymurim. So as far as applying Hu as a restrictive word to the Korban Osham, we are not able to do that. V'yela Hu Lamali, what's the role of the word Hu by the Osham? L'chir Rav Huna Omar Rav. It teaches me Rav Huna's din. The Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav. Osham Shenitak L'raya V'shochto Stam Kosher. A Korban Osham that was Nitak, that was designated to be set off to graze, and till it gets a mum, I would then redeem it and use its value to buy other korbanos. So we have an osham that was designated to graze, the shechto stam, and someone came along and shechted it stam, shechted with a neutral mindset, kosher. The animal will be considered acceptable, and we're going to infer nitak in lo nitak lo, that if it was designated for grazing, this osham that developed a mum, if it was designated to graze, then if someone slaughtered it with a stam mindset, it would be kosher as an ola. Lo nitak lo. However, if it was not designated to graze, then the shochto stam would not help. My taimo. Why do we make this distinction? Omar kro hu behav yoso yehe. The pasuk says osham hu, which means it shall remain categorized as an osham. And the only way to change that, according to this approach, is that it's designated to graze. If it's designated to graze, then it's released from its shame osham. Yasvi Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes V'yosef Rav Adar Bar Matona Gabayu V'yasvi V'kamri. Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes said, Ho V'kamar Rabbi Elozar Motzinu B'voyin Le'achar Miso Shein K'sherin V'ein Meratzin. In order to find this, we have an arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omed Aleph. So if you skim down Omed Aleph, and you'll notice to the upper part of the page an arrow, and that indicates Omid Beis. At that point, on Omid Aleph, Rabbi Elozer had said that we find things that come Liachar Misa that are kosher ve'ein merasim. With that, Rabbi Elozer tried to explain that an osham shelo lishmo should also be kosher. Lemo le Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish should have said to Rebbe Elazar, Hanohu nami laisu velertsu. Let them be brought and offer atonement for the Yorshim, for the heirs. Omar Lohen Rav Ado Bar Matana. Now, before we go any further, we should note that Rebbe Elazar, in the discussion, the original discussion, when he said, we find things that come li'achar misa that are kosher v'ein meratzin, he cited the case of the Yoledes, the woman who gave birth that had brought a korban chatos. We say that her heirs bring the korban ola. So, couldn't Reish Lakish have said back to them, said back to Rebbe Elazar, Hano nami laisu v'lersu, let the Yorshim bring the oilas yoledes and achieve kapara. Why is it that you categorize it as sharing the ein meratzin? Omar lehen Rav Ado bar Matana. So Rav Ado responds and says, yoledes, you're trying to bring a raya from the case of yoledes. Ein im hi yolda bonel mi yoldu, if she gave birth. So the korban ola is effective for she who went through that experience. Boneha mi yoldu, to suggest, like was just suggested in the narrow top trapezoid, where it was suggested that Reish Lakish says, Hano nami laisu v'lirtsu. How can you say that? How can you suggest such a thing? If she gave birth, they didn't give birth, so how can they get, let's say, atonement through a korban that's designed for a woman who gave birth when they themselves didn't go through the birth process? Maskif lo Rav Asi. Rav Asi comes back to, and you can see by the way these shapes are flipping back and forth, you can see that this position assumes the position taken by the previous one with the narrow part facing upwards, which at that point it said, let them be brought and offer atonement. So Maskif lo Rav Asi. Rav Asi raises an objection onto that which was said just before. Uman leimolon diiko kamo ase gabo lo misgapro. Could anyone say that if the person had a few violations of a mitzvah ase, would the ola not offer atonement for those things? The kevon dechiiko kama ase gabo michbara, and since we know that if the woman, in addition to giving birth, had violated different mitzvahs ase, the korban ola offers atonement. Yorshea nami michbari, let her heirs also achieve atonement, and as a result of the atonement capacity that an ola presents for mitzvahs ase, the Yorshim, even though they didn't give birth, they're not totally excluded from the potential of benefiting themselves from this korban ola. To this, the Gemara responds, "Lameimra dekanya lahu." Are you suggesting that Yorshim actually acquire ownership in it? By you're suggesting that they should be able to derive benefit from it, you're suggesting then that they become owners of it. But that's not true. V'ho'amar Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach mincha lishnei bonav umeis. A person had set aside a korban mincha, meal offering, and he died, leaving it to his two sons. Kreva v'ein bo shutfus. It is offered, and it is not considered jointly owned, because a mincha, if it were jointly owned, it wouldn't be able to be offered. V'isal kadaitoch kanya lahu. If you were to think that they as heirs gain acquisition of it, well, then it wouldn't be able to be offered. You wouldn't be able to say kreva nefesh. Omar Rachmona, the Torah speaks about a single soul in the context of a korban mincha.
and not shutfis. In other words, if it's a singular heir, then it can be offered. But if it were several, it could not be offered. And yet we see that Rabbi Yochanan teaches, just a few lines up, that if a person left a mincha to his two sons and he dies, it is offered. That shows us that there is no shutfis in it, that they don't gain ownership of it. And that is a response to the Maskiflor of Asi, who suggested just above, in the previous trapezoid, that the heirs, unlike Rav Asi suggested that the heirs should be able to get atonement through the Ola that their mother left. We're saying here, no, they don't have ownership in it. So now the Gemara asks, raises a new suggestion. The lo kanya lehu, is that so that they don't acquire it? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, he niach behemo lishnei bonav umes, person who left an animal to two sons and died, kreva, it can be offered as a sacrifice, v'ein memirin bo, and the ritual of tamura, or the phenomenon of tamura, of replicating the kedusha of a korban onto another animal, the replication of the kedusha, is not done when it's left to, when an animal is inherited by two sons. If you say that the heirs do acquire it, then I can understand this teaching that tamura is something they cannot do. It would then be like a jointly owned korban, and co-owned sacrifices are not subject to tamura. But if you want to take the other position and say that heirs don't acquire the korban of their benefactor, then emuri nami lemu, let there be tamura. Let tamura be able to take hold. Tamura is that whereby a person has a kochim animal and a chulin animal, and he says that he wants the kedusha that's present on the sacrifice to be replicated on the chulin animal. The rule of tamura is that people who own something jointly, tamura cannot take place. So at this point in the Gemara, from the fact that it was declared by Rabbi Yochanan that's kreva v'ein memirin ba, that there is no tamura possibility, that shows that they must have acquired it. The Gemara says no. Shaini hasam, the omar kro im homer yomir, l'rabois es hayoresh. Echod meimir v'ein shnai memirin. What we're saying here is that even though they don't acquire it, nevertheless there's a gzeres hakosav that says one heir is capable of doing tamura, but two are not. So you have a gzeres hakosav that says two cannot do tamura, and not so that the inability of two to do tamura is not a function of their having acquired it. Maybe they don't, in fact, acquire it, but still they can't do tamura based on this gzeres hakosav. Maski flor of Yankiv Nahar Pekoid. He raises a question. Elo me'ato. If so, that you darshan the kfilus haloshan, like we just did, im homer yomir, if you're here to darshan the kfilus to indicate one yes and two no, gabi meiser dechtiv. Meiser is a reference to you have Meiser Sheni, for example, that if Meiser Sheni is redeemed to be taken, it's for its money to be taken, money value to be taken to Yerushalayim, the one redeeming it is expected to add a choymish, a fifth, to the value. Let's continue in the Gemara. So if we're here to darshan the kfilus haloshin of the posuk to learn from that one yes and not two, so Rav Yankim from Nahar Pekod asks, Elameyato, Gabi Meiser Dichtiv.
im vim ko'ol yigal, the rabbis es hayoresh. That means that the yoresh as well, if he inherits meisers, he will, and he wants to redeem it onto money, redeem their sanctity onto money. The rabbis es hayoresh means the heir will have to add a fifth. Hochinami, are you going to say here too, b'tmiha echad goyal v'ein shnayim goyalim, that if two inherited meisters from their father, they do not do the redemption? The Gemara says, shiny meiser, digabi avuhon nami ise b'shutvis. Meiser is different, and that the halacha of or the suggestion that the pasuk of Im Gol Yigal will say one and not two, that only one is able to redeem and have to add a fifth and not the case by two, that is not the way we are going to come to conclusions. Meiser is different because even by their father, if let us say someone owned Meiser Peros, he owned Meiser Sheni, he owned fruit in joint ownership with someone else, are we going to say that they can't do pidyon? That's not true. Amale Rav Asi the Rav Ashi Umino. Well, why not extrapolate from that very halacha? I amris bishlamo kanyelahu, if you say that the heirs actually acquired it, hainu dechad miha meimar. With that, I can understand how one heir is able to do tmura. Elo I amris lo kanya luhu, but if you say that heirs don't actually acquire, hechi meimar, how is it possible for him to do tmura? V'homar b'yavo amr Rabbi Yochanan, hamakdish moisif chaimesh, v'miskaper oisa tmura, v'atori mishalo al shel chavero, toives hano shelo. From the fact that we see, and we've dashed underline, umeskaper is tumura, the one who gets atonement from a particular korban, he is the one that's granted the ability to do tumura. How could it be that he does tumura if he doesn't acquire it? We're not going to get into explaining the points Aleph and Gimel over here as well. For our purposes, we focus on the fact that it says Miskaper Osu Tmura. The one who benefits from the Korban has the ability to Tmura. And if you say that the Yoresh gets the Korban, he is able to do Tmura, that would be an indication that he actually acquires it. So the Gemara says, Mikiva lo mechapro, Mikufyo mechapro. Mikiva means in a firm, established fashion, the inherited korban does not offer atonement. So from the fact that we say that he doesn't get atonement through it, let's see the Rashi. Umeshani mikiva lo mechapro, mikufi mechapro, kapor kvuro shie yoresh bailov mamish, ein lohen. To suggest that the one who inherits the korban from his heirs gets actual atonement, that we can't say. Hilkoch gabi mincha ksheiro likrav delochal shutfin aha. Therefore, since they don't get official or formal atonement through that which they inherit, when it comes to korban mincha, it can be offered after the mises habaylim because the shame shutfin is not chal on it. The teaching of Rabbi Yochanan had said at the bottom of the previous Amid that if a father died leaving to his two sons a mincha, it can be offered. And why is that? Because they don't become actual owners in it. The Rashi continues, Avo kapora kufyo v'tsofa memeilo yesh lehen bo. But as far as the let's say a subordinate level of kapora, they do get
And as a result of that, Meimir. They have enough connection to it in order to carry out Temura. So that's what the Gemara just said. Mikivra, mikivra lo mechapra. And with that, we can understand the first point. We explain through the Rashi. With that, we can understand how a korban mincha can be brought by two brothers. And mikufya mechapra, but they do get a secondary type atonement. With that, we understand why it's as Rashi said. Let's refer back to the Rashi. There is a possibility of their doing temura. Well, with that, we conclude our shiur for today.